It's Jazzwise number 23. My name is Chris Phillips, and I'm joined by the editor of the excellent Jazzwise magazine, John Newey. Hi, John.
Hi there, Chris.
As ever, we like to get straight into a piece of music, and it is the legendary Dr. John.
Sun down, the sun up, like Vile on a come up. Breck for him, done up, but the flag still sum up. Why you gonna rough him up, mash him up? Give him to him good, gonna lash him up. Like we give a and that's enough. Never get him out of trouble, double the sum. Shake him off with the rebuff. You think the city tough, tribalin' in 24. When the flappers like, come on, give me some more. When it was cool to be thug and thugs weren't cool at all. This song's about murder, red room in the halls. Europe know murder better than all y'all. That's why Berlin has done wrote the song. Doing the best to do with the one you are. Big and small, not for history. This joint slippery, he's off the trickery. Trickster John done getting me. Snare brush with the treble clef gree-gree. Spells blown through a tone in a bottle tree. Let go the throne, we original pedigree. Feel me? Might be unknown, but to God we celebrity. If you mag him, better mack him right. If you mack him, then mack him tonight. Mack him tight, we gonna bring the light. Three rounds of fight, hide seas tonight. Hide him in the shadow, cause we shatter your life. We coming hard, like Mac the Knife. Coming.
Thank you.
such a Maggie. Back in town. Man like me is a big deal.
The Knife from Dr. John, who graces the cover of Jazzwise magazine November 2014, a seasoned and colourful character.
Indeed he is. That's from his new album, Scat Dat Di Dat, The Spirit of Satch, and is a great tribute to the music of Louis Armstrong, which will form the centrepiece of Dr. John's show at the Barbican on the 15th of November as part of the EFG London Jazz Festival. And he's taken time out to look back over his life, since he started out in New Orleans in the late 1950s. And of course, first came to prominence really as a solo artist with the release of his debut album, Gree Gree, in 1968. And that was a weird and wonderful medicine pot of New Orleans funk, hoodoo religion, psychedelia, and the Doctor's unforgettable voice. Mac Rebenack is, of course, his real name, but Gree Gree was credited to Dr. John the Night Tripper. And this, of course, is where his, you know, full career as Dr. John started from. And it had an unbelievable impact when it came out. It's a real spooky, strange, spooky record, and it became a huge favourite of underground hippie audiences. But our writer, Michael Jackson, he hung out with Dr. John recently in Chicago and heard many a wild tale about misadventures on the road.
I bet.
Which included getting shot in Florida, running around with knives, various rip-offs, and trying not to wake up Art Blakey when he climbed through his apartment while attempting to score some heroin back in the days when Dr. John had rather one too many habits.
Yeah, yeah.
These days, the good, clean doctor is one of New Orleans' most celebrated sons, and he's carried on the Crescent City's music and folk traditions for over 20 albums and a fistful of Grammy Awards. So check out the new album. It's a wonderful album, lots of collaborations on there, but it never veers that far from the great spirit of Dr. John, that great kind of New Orleans second line funk, and that absolutely unforgettable voice that you heard on that opening track, Mac the Knife, which is in fact the title of the cover story. And read that and you'll find out why it's Mac the Knife. I think one too many blades there. Anyway, we're going to go back in time and go back to his solo debut from 1968. This is Gree Gree, and this is Walk on Gilded Splinters from that 1968 debut, still as strange, spooky and sinister as it ever was.
But I know they must be crazy. Don't see their misfortune, else they just too lazy. Je suis le grand zombie, my yellow belt of Charizard. Ain't afraid of no tomcat, fill my brains with poison. Walk through the fire, fly through the smoke. See my enemy at the end of the road. Walk on pins and needles, see what they can do. Walk on gilded splinters with the cane of the Zulu. Dang, I'm gonna come on, make it come on. Walk on gilded splinters.
coffin, drink poison in my chalice. Pride begins to fade, and y'all feel my malice. Put Gree-Gree on your doorstep, soon you'll be in the gutter. Melt your heart like butter, and I can make you stutter. Think about a con, may kill it, con, con.
Show.
time I live faint and a coarse and long. Sell out the carabos on the bras. Pile in the mile and man, 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 too. Un pobre diablo crank on the road. Pile in mile and man, 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 man.
The wonderful Dr. John, and that was Walk on Gilded Splinters from his debut, Gree Gree, and that voice still hasn't changed a bit, has it?
It hasn't, no, and I mean, this was the album that really started him off, and I can just remember the impact that this record has. I mean, just from the sleeve alone, from the front, the kind of words, strange words on the back, all the song titles, and I can remember when I first heard this, when it was played on the PA at the Roundhouse, Jeff Dexter put it on, one of the big kind of underground hippie events there, and it just absolutely stopped everyone in their tracks.
Yeah,
you know, what a remarkable album, and it is such a weird, strange, steeped in voodoo.
I was going to say, I wonder if there was a sacrificial chicken involved in the studio at the time.
I think there might well have been
a tendency for some of that back then, possibly even still today.
In fact, Dr. John, in the feature in this issue, talks about the kind of dark voodoo arts, and he's dabbling in them, and he talks about this goofer dust, which is graveyard dirt mixed with gunpowder and church pearl grease, was a favourite concoction to curse his enemies with.
Brilliant. Can we get a bottle of that?
For Christmas.
Might make good use of it by then, yeah. We'll talk about Dr. John because he's on the front cover of Jazzwise this month. Of course, I must say that no chickens were hurt in the making of this here podcast, and we wish no one any voodoo death or anything like that. Well, no one we're prepared to mention anyway.
No. And I don't think any small animals were hurt in the making of Trish Clow's new album. The rising star saxophonist has been talking to Selwyn Harris about her brand new album, Pocket Compass, and which is released this month, and where she talks really about her love of Wayne Shorter, combined with her own unique take on jazz and classical music. Three tracks on the album are recorded with the BBC Concert Orchestra, and she appears with them this month at the London Jazz Festival on the 18th of November at the Queen Elizabeth Hall. A saxophonist who isn't at the London Jazz Festival is Mark Turner, and he's been on the phone from his home in Brooklyn to talk about his new quartet album on ECM Records, Lathe of Heaven. And he talks at length, really, for all those budding fathers about there, just how he tailors his touring schedule around parenting. And that's kind of good news to hear because, you know, you hear about musicians that, you know, oh, my whole life is devoted to my art, man. And so here's a musician, a very fine saxophonist, actually talking about how his kids are the most important thing and how he wants to sort of fit the stuff around them. So full marks to him for that. We also take a look in this issue at an up-and-coming, Mauritius-born, Paris-based pianist, Jerry Leonide, this month, whose superb debut album, The Key, is released on the ACT label. It includes all original material that draws on Mauritian folk inspirations and very strong rhythmic concepts, and features Jerry with both Mauritian and French musicians, including a front line of flugelhorn and soprano sax, as well as guest appearance from fellow Mauritian musician, that's the bassist Linley Marth. And he used to play with Joe Zawinul. Joe was always out there looking for very interesting musicians, and Linley indeed played with him before Joe died. A very fine bassist, and he's got a featured role on this record. So this is an album that gets better and better with every play. I believe you've been playing it a lot, Chris, haven't you?
Certainly have, yeah. It's featured extensively on radio programmes I've been doing. So I think it's the best album this year.
Big words, Chris. Yeah. Big words. Maybe we should have got you to vote in our critics poll of the year, because we're working on that at the moment in our December issue. And it'd be interesting to see if this record features in there. Anyway, this is an album that gets better with every play. So let's take a walk down Rue de Paris, part one, and see if you agree.
Thank you.
de Paris there with Jerry Leonid. C'est bon.
Yeah, well, you can see you passed your O-level French then, Chris.
That's about the extent of it, I'll be honest with you.
Yes, next month it's a German lesson.
Yes. God, that's an ugly noise. Anyway, we move on. We had one season character already, Dr. John, and featuring in the magazine this month, another very seasoned man, Robert Wyatt.
Yes, Robert is a truly unique English musician. I think occupies a very special place all his own. On the eve of publication of his official biography by the Jazzwise writer Marcus O'Dea, it's called Different Every Time, which is out later this month. The writer, Marcus O'Dea, talks at length to the singer, songwriter, former drummer and founder of Soft Machine, and the pocket cornet player, about his deep love of jazz, and looks back with Robert over a remarkable, left-leaning, free-thinking life that really goes all the way through from the early days of Soft Machine, well, such a pioneering jazz rock group from 1967. And various people that he's recorded and performed with, including Jimi Hendrix, Carla Bley and Charlie Hayden, amongst a host of others. It's a fascinating feature, and it comes complete with a spread of rare photos drawn from Robert's personal collection, so it's really not to be missed. And Robert possesses one of the most characteristic and touching voices on the music scene, and I think he's got a way of interpreting both standards and intriguing covers, I think, as well as his own material, like no other singer that we can think of. At the London Jazz Festival, he's going to be talking at the Queen Elizabeth Hall on the 23rd of November, and there's a compilation album coming out on Domino Records, which is going to be drawn from all his various solo albums. If there's any justice, this beautiful version of Laura, the Johnny Mercer classic, will be on that Domino Records compilation. So take a listen now. This is from Robert Wyatt's album, The Ghost Within, that he recorded with Gilad Atzmon, and in fact was his most recent album.
In the misty night, footsteps that you hear down the hall, the laugh that floats on a summer night, that you can never quite recall. And you see Laura on the train that is passing through. Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura, but she's only a dream. Thank you. train that is passing through. Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura, but she's only a
Robert Wyatt here on Jazzwise 23 and Laura, Johnny Mercer's Laura. And things are about to get extraordinarily wilder up in here on this podcast, John. We're off to Finland.
Helsinki bound, in fact. And I report back in this issue from the recent Jazz Finland Festival, which was held in late September in Helsinki and showcased a number of new groups from the Nordic countries, as well as Finnish rising stars, including the Kari Ikonen Trio. They're a great, highly contemporary piano trio who merge Armenian folk inspirations with a kind of bustling post-Esbjørn Svendsen trio rhythmic thrust. And also, I saw over there the mighty saxophonist Mikko Inanen and his group, who blew us away with a burst of high-energy free bop that would have had Peter Brotsman smiling. But the group that really caught my eye and ear at the Jazz Finland Festival were Krokofant, a young Norwegian free jazz metal trio that consists of saxophone, guitar and drums. And they combine elements of Trio VD and the Roller Trio with the Thing's propulsive abandon and the feral attack of the original Mahavishnu Orchestra and Black Sabbath's heavy crunch.
God, and that's quite a mix.
It's quite a menu. And their drummer, Axel Skalstad, is a revelation. He comes on like a turbocharged cross between Elvin Jones and Keith Moon. Their self-titled debut album was released earlier this year. And in fact, when they performed at the Coco Club in Helsinki, into a room full of European jazz festival promoters, because the European Jazz Network were holding their conference in town at the same time. So this was like a showcase gig. They came on, played for 20 minutes, just tore it up and left their audience of European jazz promoters in a blackened heap on the floor at the end. So this is a track from their self-titled debut, which was released earlier this year, and it's not for listeners of a nervous disposition. This is the track Bodega, and this is Krokofant.
Croco Fant here on Jazz Rise 23. Wow, you really did feel the need to strap yourself in for that one, John. Amazing.
Yeah, there's in fact an advert from back in the day. We do a little series in Jazz Rise where we call it Back in the Day, and we kind of find old adverts from years gone by, and there's one in there for some jazz overalls that advertise themselves as particularly good for free jazz recitals. So I think that's the kind of thing that audiences should be donning when Croco Fant make their debut appearance in this country.
We're almost looking for jazz body bags for that one.
Yeah, I think we are.
Anyway, on a lighter note, there's some news packed out in this magazine.
Yeah, well, November being Jazz Festival Month, we brought you the concert listings, full concert listings for the EFG London Jazz Festival last month. And in this issue, there are the full free stage and club listings for the festival. It opens its doors on the 14th, the 23rd of November, for a colossal 350 events at over 65 venues, the length and breadth of the capital. The festival really does present jazz in all its varied and wonderful forms. I mean, you wonder really if it can get any bigger. It just grows and grows and grows each year. As in fact, it's the biggest music event held in London. You think that would be a rock event or a pop event. No, it's the Jazz Festival. So get on down there on the 14th of November when it opens and catch some of these remarkable shows.
Just wish it was a bit longer. If it was a bit longer, we could get around to see more of this stuff.
Well, there is that. Maybe they could make it a month long, the whole of November. We never get anything done then, would we?
Yeah, let's do it. A whole month. Yeah. What else we got?
Also in the news, we have details of a fantastic new 400-page large format book, Uncompromising Expression.
Now, this is Richard Haver's book.
It is indeed, and this is the history of the Blue Note Records label, just in time for Christmas. There's been a number of books out before. There was Richard Cook's biography. There's been the Blue Note cover art book. There's been the Francis Wolff's photography, the Blue Note photography. There's been a great book by Michael Kaskuna, which is the whole discographical book of Blue Note Records. But there's never been a book quite like this before. 400 pages, 800 illustrations, many of them never seen before. And it coincides with the label's 75th anniversary. There's lots of stuff I've never seen about the label. And as listeners to this podcast may know, I'm a bit of a Blue Note fanatic. So put it on your Christmas list. It's got so much fantastic memorabilia in this book. It's got Alfred Lion and Rudy Van Gelder's session notes for like Eric Dolphy's Out to Lunch album, track by track, with all the little notes they were making at the very time when Eric was cutting that album in the Van Gelder studio. Hordes of outtakes from cover art, the various photos tracking up to the one that was used from the contact sheets that they chinagraphed it off with, and you know, picking that actual shot. There's some fantastic shots from back in the day in Germany, from when jazz was forbidden in those years in the 30s, and following 1933 when Alfred Lion got out and in fact went initially to South America and then made his way to New York to escape the Nazi menace. Lots of pictures of jazz verboten, banners all over the place. It's a truly remarkable story, and there's something for the collectors in this book as well, because it actually shows all the variations on every Blue Note label. It even goes into the Rudy Van Gelder etchings in the dead wax and the famous Plastilite P or E, as many people know it, which is in the dead wax and signifies the Plastilite pressing plant, which is where all the original pressings were done. And these, as we said, are the pressings that go for several thousand dollars on eBay. Also, we have news of a brand new 4-CD box set of the Miles Davis 1960 European Tour, which features John Coltrane. In fact, these were the last gigs that John Coltrane ever played with Miles Davis. He didn't actually want to go on the tour, but I think he got talked into it, and the kind of tensions between him and Miles then. I mean, Coltrane was making a name for himself then, and Giant Steps was already out, so obviously building a really big name, and he agreed in the end, but you can feel in the music the tension between him and Miles Davis, which makes for some fantastic uncompromising playing. So this is selected concerts from their 1960 European tour, but remastered in the finest ever sound quality yet, and that's coming out on Acrobat Records. There's also an appreciation of the work of Kenny Wheeler, who of course died on the 18th of September. And he has, there is an album coming in the new year on ECM from him as well. In fact, the last music that he ever made. And finally, there's news of your chance to vote in the 2015 Parliamentary Jazz Awards. The polls open online and anyone can vote on this. The polls open online on the 17th of November. And so don't forget, use your vote. I'm not quite sure where the website is going to be, but if you put Parliamentary Jazz Awards 2015 into Google, it will throw it up straight away. So don't forget, use your vote and make it count.
Parliament, in true jazz democracy fashion there, inviting your vote. I think we should have a musical interlude right now. I was actually talking with Don Was, the supremo Blue Note, when he was over here recently, and he got into Blue Note through listening to Joe Henderson that came on the radio in his mum's car. And I said to him, pick me a moment from the whole Blue Note catalogue that means something special to you. And he went for Ornette Coleman Trio at the Golden Circle live in Stockholm. Faces and Places, Ornette Coleman playing both saxophone and violin on that album as well, from the two volumes of Live at the Golden Circle in Stockholm, from Volume 1 there, and a big one with John Newey, editor of Jazz Wise
Fantastic
magazine.
Fantastic cover art on that album too.
That was the thing we were talking about with Don, was about the covers, and he picked that one out as a moment, and you know, the cover, the music, the genre bending power of this music that was coming out at the time, and it really blew his mind. Right, well, I'm sure, I don't know yet, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be another Blue Note reference coming up, because we're into the one that got away and then the one that didn't get away. On your quest for those elusive rare album gems on vinyl, what did you lose out on this month, John?
Yes, well, digging down into the murky depths of eBay this month, as opposed to digging in the crates of a secondhand vinyl store, I was chasing a very hard-to-find 1970 vinyl album. And this is Child Song from the leading UK trumpeter and violinist Henry Lowther. And this comes from the period when I think jazz and underground rock first found they could share the same bed to mutual, often exciting ends. This was issued on the Duran label. Henry's still playing today, fantastic player. And in fact, he actually played Woodstock in 1969 when he was a member of the Keith Hartley band. And Keith Hartley had been a drummer with John Mayall in John Mayall's Blues Breakers, and I think Henry had in fact appeared on one of their albums as well, quite possibly Crusade or Bare Wires. He was certainly on one of those albums. Anyway, amazing experience to have actually played Woodstock in 1969, and then came back and he cut this album, Child Song. And it's very much from that period. It's those very, very early days of jazz taking on kind of rock influences. And, of course, it's an electric piano on there. This, as a lot of albums from that period, has become highly collectible. The price on eBay just started to get away from me. And it eventually went for way over £150. I think somewhere in around £170. But at least this track, which is 3/4 skip, will give you some idea of what I missed.
Thank you.
Child Song, 1970, Henry Lowther Band, the one that got away from vinyl hunter John Newey. But there's always a success.
There is indeed. And in fact, we're back to Blue Note.
There you go, see? Knew it.
Yeah, we had to get there somehow, didn't we? And this is the self-titled album from the tenor saxophonist J.R. Monteros. Originally recorded and released by Blue Note in 1956. This was his only album from the label. Original pressings of this go for well over £800, which is kind of beyond my league. But this is a second pressing from Blue Note when it was a division of United Artists in the late 60s, early 70s. I think this stems from just around the sort of 69 period. So it's got the classic Blue Note label and everything. It just says a division of United Artists rather than New York on the label. And even then, I mean, they're pretty difficult to find. And this is a superb slice of bristling hard bop from this little-known Detroit-born musician who played briefly with Charles Mingus and Buddy Rich. As I say, it's his only album for Blue Note, and it comes with a fantastic sleeve as well, real classic Blue Note design with blown-up kind of tight early typewriter face for the text on the cover. And what a band. Horace Silver on piano, Ira Sullivan on trumpet, bassist Wilbur Ware and drummer Philly Joe Jones. So this is the saxophonist J.R. Monteros from the unbelievably collectible and sought after self-titled debut album from 1956, and this is a Donald Byrd tune called The Third. We'll be right back.
J.R. Montero's on Blue Note, the one that didn't get away, Donald Byrd tune, and that is the third. And we like to finish up on something wild, ridiculous, energetic, explosive. We call it The End Is Nigh, and there's many reasons for that. We should go back to that Crocophant album, shouldn't we, John, really?
I think we should do, yes. They really did have an impact at the Jazz Finland Festival in Helsinki, so much so that we put them at number one in our chart in the November issue of Jazzwise.
Fantastic.
So what better time to play another track? And I think we'll make it the opening track, Polyphant, from this remarkable album, self-titled Crocophant. It came out earlier this year on the Rune Gramophone label. And so go check it out. And I believe they have another album coming sometime in 2015, probably in the spring. So watch for them. And as we mentioned earlier, really for those of a nervous disposition, maybe better move on to another title.
I was going to say, keep your ear out for these guys, but make sure there's some cotton wool in it.
Ha 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 ha.